You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is Julio Rodriguez, and this is the Lookout Landing podcast.
You're just another recovering heart. I wasn't even gonna try.
No practice doing podcasts. Just one microphone is all. Sometimes I have some guests, and we talk baseball. How is that for an intro, everyone? Welcome back to the Lookout Landing podcast. We're doing another episode of Why I'm a Mariners Fan with a very special guest. Today's is Brittany Bush Belay, full Mariners fan, full internet presence, full
extremely online.
Yeah, extremely online Seattle resident. Brittany, welcome to the recording studio.
Thank you.
We are, for the listeners, we are in a palatial recording studio, I would say, surrounded by various kinds of marble. Both of us are wearing silk robes, provided by Vox Media, of course. Thank you, Vox. There's a candle. Some of it is for the vibe. Some of it is because I'm a young single man, and there are some smells in this apartment occasionally. But we're not here to talk about that.
Slash recording studio,
yeah.
Penthouse recording studio apartment.
We have converted it into sort of a hybrid situation, and it's working well, so people seem to like it.
I mean, you live for your work, so you might as well live at your work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. This is work. This is my art form, and I take it very seriously. But yes, we are here to talk about why we are Mariners fans. It's an interesting thought process in the offseason when the Mariners feel so distant. Like, I haven't really given a lot of thought to the roster or, like, offseason trades or anything. I don't know if you have, but...
I overheard someone talking the other day about trading Tom Murphy, and I almost cried.
Oh no.
So that was...
We can't have that.
No.
The backup catcher has to be the priority of the offseason.
I mean, that's why they don't let me run the team.
That is true. Yeah, we would rule the team with our heart first.
I would have an all-catcher team, actually. All-backup catcher team. I think that's probably technically impossible, but we could make it work.
Yeah.
You gotta believe.
No one's tried it yet, and that's usually what leads to the sweeping changes, is someone trying to zig where everyone else is zagging, so... I think that's kind of what we're doing here also. You know, the baseball podcast that's very meta about baseball and podcasting itself. I'm especially intrigued by your, like, fandom origin story because, correct me if I'm wrong, but you are not from here originally.
I am not. I've lived in Seattle for about 13 years now, but I grew up in Nashville, Tennessee, and I wandered around the world for a bit before ending up here.
So you didn't grow up here at all, never lived here until making the move as an adult?
I had never, like I said, I grew up in Nashville. I had never crossed the Mississippi until I was, like, 21, just shy thereof.
Okay.
Yeah, so I never, growing up like a grunge-loving kid in Nashville, like, I never even imagined that I would get anywhere near Seattle.
Interesting. And then you got here and you were like, baseball, I guess, will be the new grunge music.
You know, now I kind of want to, like, I'm going to think about that for a while, actually.
Yeah, you can write something for lookoutlanding.com, maybe. How baseball is the new grunge. Because you have to be here to fully appreciate it. That could be an angle. We'll work on
it.
We'll
work on it.
Obviously. So that makes you then the first guest who has never, who never grew up in the Seattle area.
Okay.
Yeah, Isabel is on. She kind of bounced around between California and Seattle as a kid. But you're the first one who sort of came to the Mariners on their own volition, not just like your parents sitting you down in front of the TV and saying, this is what we do.
Yeah, my family actually, like, my dad's a giant college football fan.
Okay.
We didn't do baseball, and I mostly live with my mom, and she didn't do sports. Like, I did not. I grew up watching figure skating and gymnastics, which I didn't think were sports, which we can talk about at a different time because there's a lot to unpack there. But,
sure.
But, like, yeah, I didn't understand how football worked until I was in high school. didn't watch baseball, none of that. So
never played it or anything.
Not outside of like the front yard when I was a kid.
Interesting. Okay, so then when did you move to Washington or Seattle or whatever?
I was 25, I guess, when I moved
here. Are the Mariners good or bad when you move here?
I don't know.
You don't know?
Okay. No, so, there was like years between them and my Mariners fandom.
Oh, this is great, because usually it's just, you know, everyone I've talked to so far, it's like, yeah, I grew up here and my family was into sports, so I became a Mariners fan.
Yeah.
But so how long did it take then from moving here to actually starting to dip your toe in the Mariners water?
You know, my husband and I used to go like just here and there when we first moved here. It would be like someone he knew at work had tickets. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, hey, not using them. It's like, sure, you know, I'd been to one Major League Baseball game, actually, and when I graduated from Hebrew school.
Mm.
We went to New York City.
Fun.
For our graduation trip, and we went to a Mets game. Shea Stadium. It was a Mets Red Sox game.
Oh, wow.
It was the first year of interleague play, and the Mets got stomped. I've gone back and found the score. I don't remember it, but I just remember that the Mets fans were so mad they started making paper airplanes and throwing them from the top deck into the field, and the police had to come and make them stop. And I was like, baseball's crazy.
Yeah. Introduction to baseball and just New York guys.
Yeah, yeah. And also, I was like, oh man, New York, it's everything I ever heard about.
Yeah, that's hilarious to me, because I feel like that could almost be a turn off a lot of ways, especially if you're like an impressionable kid and you see how people behave at baseball stadiums. I would feel like I wouldn't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, I don't know. That didn't stop me.
Interesting. So then,
I'm not scared of much though, so.
Oh, okay, that's good. Because Mets, that's a very scary thing to be introduced to. It's like showing a horror movie to a kid, I feel like. So you mentioned your husband would, like, mm-hmm. you and your husband would go to games, like, occasionally. But when did you start to, like, when did the switch flip, I guess, where you're like, this went from something I was kind of interested in to now this is, like, I'm an actual Mariners fan?
So it all started in 2013. My kid, who's now 7, he was just about to turn 1.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing they don't necessarily tell you about parenting is it's really tedious, especially with, like, a really small kid.
Tips
and out. Like, trying to get out of the house, bored out of my mind, what's cheap, what's outside, the weather's nice, baseball, let's go buy some bleacher tickets and just go check it out. And he loved it. Like, it started with him, really. He would just, like, he would creep up and down the bleachers. People would feed him.
Whoa.
It was just, like, kind of weird, but also, you know, they're adults making their own decisions about their own food. So, sure, I guess.
It's kind of generous.
Yeah, share your popcorn with my kid, whatever. And he likes the music, and he, like, liked to dance around. And I was like, yeah, this is cool. And sitting in the centerfield bleachers was, like, $5 at that time, because we weren't real good in 2013.
No, and still in 2019. So do you think it was more, at this age, it sounds like it was more the experience that he was drawn to than the actual baseball, or was it kind of both? Like,
He just liked being in a baseball game, and that's how it started for me, too. It was, like, just like the atmosphere, and it's just, like wandering around the park for a couple innings, and you kind of check in on what's going on, and, like, you know, get a hot dog, go back. Again, in, like, weird, slightly cursed baseball history, I'm pretty sure the first game we went to was a Blue Jays series. So, frankly, I don't know why I ever went back. But, And so we just started going and started going more. And then in 2014, we went to a whole bunch of games. And then that was the year that we were looking at maybe, like, the wild card spot, if I recall.
First Cano year.
So they're like, yeah, get your season ticket deposit in now, or you can get wild card tickets. And I was like, all right, fine, here we go.
You were bamboozled by hope.
And so,
So that's, okay, so then 2014 is a very interesting time, I feel like, to kind of decide, like, I'm going to do this, because that is the one time since 2002 or 3 where it's like they could actually be something. It's not just like we're going or you're getting season tickets because they're cheap and no one will be there.
Right.
It's like I could actually be a part of a good Mariners team.
Yeah. That the year that it was like we're waiting like at the last game of the season on the A's?
Yeah, 2014 was the one where Felix comes off the mound and he tips his cap and everything. And then The very next year they get Nelson Cruz and it do way worse, I believe. So that's that's kind of what your introduction is to like full-on Mariner fandom. That's fascinating to me.
Yeah.
Because for me it was kind of the well, for me the first team I really remember was 2001, which is like literally the best team of all time.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm very jaded at that point. I'm like, oh my god, our team is amazing. Like, nothing will ever go wrong. And then I had to relearn to almost like the Mariners again when they sucked and like find new ways to sort of like appreciate it. And I feel like you, like, 2014 to 15 to 16 to 17, it's so, like, topsy-turvy.
Yeah, yeah.
How did your kid handle that?
The funny thing is he's, like, way more pragmatic about it than me.
Really?
I get really attached to the players.
Really
attached. I know better. I get really attached, and then, like, every time there's a trade, I dread having to tell him, and every time he's like, oh, okay.
Really?
And then just like water off a duck's back.
Huh. You don't even have to explain like the rationale behind the trade, like you're going to get these other players.
No,
he's
no,
just
he
like,
never
asked
me. He never asked me what the return is.
Wow, he's cold.
He is.
See
he
you
is.
Later,
he's
James Paxton.
Like it's probably it makes for a really good baseball fan, frankly. But
I think so. Yeah, that cold detachment will serve him well later. Huh? Okay. So how does like having a kid who's into it and bringing your kid to games, how does that like change sort of your lens of baseball? Because I don't even have any sort of reference for that. I'm just like, I like it. This is for me. And you have a kid who you have to like kind of raise into being a person, but also into fandom and how those things interact, you know, like being a good fan and all whatever that means.
Yeah. Once I realized that I really liked baseball and I wanted to keep coming back, I had to focus, like I started then, I want to make sure that my kid has a good time at the park so that he wants to keep coming back. So as he's older, like the game obviously is going to mean different things to him, but it was something that we did together. And so, you know, like we spent a lot of time at the playground the first couple of years. We're like, well, we're going to get there a little bit late because like I'm trying to get on the bus and he's having a hard time because he's a toddler, like whatever. Just had to be super laid back, even when I didn't necessarily feel that laid back about it. Just wanted to make sure it was like a happy place for him to be, and as we've gone along, like he more and more, like he'll sit through a whole game now most of the time.
That's better than what I'll do a lot of the time.
And he knows how to keep score. I learned how to keep score because my kid wanted to learn how to keep score.
Really?
And I was like, well, I should probably also learn and then I can help him.
Yeah, keeping score is huge. My grandpa taught me how to keep score when I was really little, and I think that helped me be able to actually follow a baseball game a lot more and be interested in it rather than just the outcomes, like you actually tracking each batter and stuff. That was massive for me.
Yeah. And I have ADHD, so it really helps me focus.
Nice. Cool. So have you had any like weird experiences at the ballpark? I mean, we all have had like weird experiences, but with like a kid, you know, you have people drunk, people yelling and screaming, like are people a little more courteous, or did your kid get like a full introduction to like this is how people behave at sporting events?
I think Mariners fans are usually pretty chill. I don't think I've had a ton of weird experiences.
That's true, actually. Now that I think about it,
like,
most of it is the opposing fans who make things bad.
Yeah. Again, there have been a couple Blue Jays series where it's gotten kind of tense.
Hear that, Canada?
But I don't know if he really like got that it was getting tense, and I don't think I've ever heard anyone like yell some word that he's never heard before. Like people will swear nearby and they'll turn around and like apologize to me. And
oh
like,
wow!
He's heard that from me. Probably he swears perfectly.
Oh,
he
nice.
Swears when he swears at sports. He does a really good job. So
honestly, I think that's an important lesson. Like you don't want him to learn that later and sound all unnatural.
Yeah.
You know, like someone who's never done it before. You got to learn that early.
Yeah.
How many games a year do you think you normally go to?
So last year I went to 64 Mariners games.
Oh my god!
64 regular season Mariners games. Plus,
that's like almost all of the home games.
Because we went to Japan.
Okay.
So we got the two regular season games in Japan and almost all of the. I mean, I have season tickets.
Right, and you use them. A lot of people will start to give them away.
Yeah,
like,
no,
August, September.
Like, got a ticket, I might as well go. And by August, September, they're not necessarily worth anything. So.
Right, and then you could probably, like, you know, move down.
Yeah.
Easier for autographs for kiddo.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay, I feel like that can backfire, though, being at the stadium that much when the team is so bad, because it's, like, being confronted very bluntly by the badness. Maybe having a kid helps, where it's, like, you're not just there for the Mariners.
I mean, there are definitely, there are some... Some of the, like, the long homestands in, like, the second half of the season felt like slogs. I wanted to beat my record, too, of how many games I've worked in the season before. I mean, there's obviously a fine, there's a finite number. I don't know. It'd probably be, I don't know that I'll ever get to 81 home games, but.
It's a cool thing to, like, strive for, though. And also, if you don't, you can just lie to people. No one's going to know.
That's true.
You can just say,
that's
I went to
true.
All 81 home games when people try to, like, quiz you on your fandom.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
Like, I was there for every game. What have you been doing?
Yeah.
But, like, being there, and this is, I mean, back to me, because this is all about me. When I'm, like, at a bad Mariners game where they're getting blown out, and it's, like, you know, 8-0 in the third inning, that's when I'm, like, I wish I had just not gone to this game, because then I could just turn it off. You know, I don't want to turn it off when I'm there. So then it's, like, I feel like I have, like, my eyes pried open, but, you know, it's like they're forcing me to watch this thing I don't want. So I'm wondering if, like, kind of having that other vessel, the vessel being your kid, to, like, experience it with makes, like, the losing a little easier.
Yeah, probably. And also, this is where the Twitter community comes in. Like,
love Twitter.
When you're part of Mariners Twitter, you're never watching the game alone.
Folks, you gotta get on Twitter.
So
there's a
baseball group chat that I'm in, and definitely, like, all of, like, Lookout Landing, like, staff and hangers-on Twitter, and sometimes you just text somebody, and you just, like, oh my god, I'm banging my effing head against the wall right now.
Yeah.
Like, depending, there's levels, but...
No, that'll certainly help, because I remember in high school, this was, like, 2011 to 2013-ish, I was, like, pretty invested in the Mariners, and they were awful, and a lot of my friends were like, why are you doing this, like, why are you staying home to watch the Mariners? And I didn't have, like, that online community or just real-life community of people where I could, you know, complain about Blake Bevin or whatever it was, you know? And I feel like now the online fandom thing is so real because it does make you feel less alone, just to put it, you know, in the most simple terms. But also I feel like it can remind you why you got into it in the first place. Like, having other people who care equally as much as you do is so powerful.
Yeah, I think if I hadn't found the community, my baseball fandom would not be nearly as intense as it's gotten. And, you know, I go to the park and I just, like, literally run into people that I know.
Sure.
Like,
I mean,
wandering around
this
giant
game.
Stadium not as much this season, but last season, every time I'd run into someone I knew just about. And, you know, if you sit in the bleachers, you can usually just go sit with them, hang out.
Right.
And I've learned so much from everybody that I know, and like, because most of them are baseball fans way longer than me, and I just feel like I'm playing catch up all the time.
Yeah, I forgot about
that.
But
I have great, like,
like, learning on the fly, I feel like, would also help a lot with, you know, our extremely smart, extremely nice community. Because, like,
and handsome,
yeah, we're all very handsome, yeah, very, really just accomplished people, I think, in all aspects. But I didn't even really consider that because, like, for me, like, obviously I had to learn baseball along the way, but it was just much quicker. Like, my dad was my youth baseball coach, so I kind of had that right away. And I feel like it would be very intimidating to have to, like, learn all of the nuance of baseball as you're, like, doing baseball fully. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Did you have that sort of issue where you're like, oh my god, they're going to find out I'm a fraud or something like that?
I mean, I still feel that way sometimes, especially when people bring up, like, advanced statistics and stuff. I'm like,
I'm still, like, I like them when I'm writing because it's, like, tells me who, you know, who is better than who or who did what. But, like, when I'm watching the game, I'm never thinking about, like, oh, you know, he has this ground ball rate or whatever. I'm
right.
just watching baseball.
Yeah. I feel more... I don't know, like, not like a fraud, but when people bring up, like, their favorite Mariners from, like, 15 years ago, I don't know who that is.
Sure.
You guys are all, suddenly, I'm on the outside for a second, which is, like, I mean, it's fine, it's no big deal, but it's So I like quickly Google. I'm like, oh. I'm not gonna pretend like I have like memories in my head of them. But I'm like, okay, that's who that is.
I mean, yeah, I have that too, just from you know the wonder of youth. Like, I don't know anyone. I mean, Griffey was the first one that I like knew about, but I don't have any actual memories of Ken Griffey Jr. being a Mariner until the second time, at least.
Right. Well, and I was lucky enough to see him the second time. I was lucky enough to see Ichiro, and I think that probably helped too. Like, even then, as like a very casual baseball fan, I knew that I was seeing something special, and that was cool. Because like I knew who Ken Griffey Jr. was just from like the zeitgeist, you know?
Totally. And I think now that's going to become, which is kind of sad to me because I just wish it was a Mariner, but I think that's what Russell Wilson is becoming for this generation of kids in Seattle.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they may not necessarily like football, but they understand that Russell Wilson is a big deal, and he kind of elevates the brand, you know,
mm-hmm.
for the Seahawks or what Griffey was doing for the Mariners. It's weird, isn't it? Like, I feel like baseball is much more fun when it's communal, like the way that
mm-hmm.
the Seahawks became like a thing in Seattle when
mm-hmm.
they won the Super Bowl. Like, I miss that about
mm-hmm.
the Mariners so hard. And I guess you weren't even here for that when they were like 2001,
no.
late 90s, when they were just murdering people.
No. No, I actually wasn't even living in this country at that time, so I had no idea.
So you mentioned the players that, like, you know, you don't have a frame of reference for some of the older ones. Who was the first Mariner player that you felt like really attached to?
Oh, that's a good question. Actually, you're gonna think
was it a backup catcher?
It was Dustin Ackley.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
Because we sat right over where he played. We sit in the left field bleachers, and we would like look down, and there's Dustin Ackley, and like with his crazy beard and making catches and stuff. And
I can see that he was very approachable, like especially when he was young, and
mm-hmm.
he was like, you know, the hope. Everyone was like, okay, this is, we want to root for him, and then it quickly flipped where everyone was like, we want to hate him, we want him out. But I can see that. I also feel like having a guy who's not necessarily great kind of like enhances fandom a little bit. Like, it's so easy to be like, oh yeah, I love Felix, I love Ichiro, but like, you know, like I was a big, like Mike Cameron was pretty good, but like I was a big Mark McLemore fan who like wasn't a superstar at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like Willie Bloomquist was a big person for me. I loved like middle relievers, like the Wilhelmsons, the Furbush. It helps that they're usually weirdos too.
All
the middle relievers.
All time favorite.
Yeah.
Tom
is he really all
time
favorite?
All time favorite baseball player, Tom Wilhelmsen, 100%. He's my guy. I have two autographed Tom Wilhelmsen jerseys.
Wow.
Yeah.
Two of them. You might have the most of anyone on earth. You probably do. Maybe outside the Wilhelmsen family.
Start the museum. Tom, if you're listening, I'm not creepy. I just love you. I just love you.
What is he doing?
He listens, right?
He probably listens.
He was on, I don't know if it was in the radio call or in the park for the Diamondbacks not long ago, but I think that was just like a one-off thing. I think he's just being a really cool dad. I think
I love that.
Most of what I see, I think he like maybe like is an ambassador for a tequila company.
That sounds
just
very,
continuing
very
to be
well
like on brand.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. I want to keep up with him because I feel like that's the other thing about sports fandom is when someone leaves your team, it's very easy to be like, all right, see ya.
Yeah.
And like, you don't really check up. The internet makes it a lot easier, obviously, to see what they're doing. But like, I can't imagine, you know, when it was like the dark ages of, you know, 70s, 80s, you love a player, they get traded. You never see them on TV because TV is so limited. There's no internet. Like, they would just kind of disappear from your life, I feel like.
Yeah.
Like, I still feel like I know a lot about what James Paxton is up to. I'm sure you are kind of the same way. Like,
mm-hmm.
obviously rooting for him in the playoffs, but also, like, he had to shave, and, like, that was
that
was the whole
weird
thing. Yeah. And, like, he lives in New York City now, which feels like the last place James Paxton would ever choose to live.
Yeah.
It's wild. Sports do crazy things to our emotions, like, in being attached to literal strangers. Like.
Yeah, yes.
But I guess for you, you had, you know, the Maple Grove is a little more of, like, a real attachment to a player.
Yeah, I mean, it's just as much attachment to the community. Like, at that point, like, I got sucked into loving James Paxton because I loved people in the Maple Grove.
Right. That's interesting.
But there was definitely, like, more of an actual connection there than I have experienced in other times, and that felt pretty cool.
I feel like a big part of your brand, extremely heavy air quotes, is, like, for lack of a better term, just like calling out bullshit when you see it, or, like, standing up for what is morally right. And now, Brittany, I don't know if you knew this, but a lot of times the goings on in sports, mm-hmm. not morally right. Oftentimes, morally very, very
morally wrong.
So how have you had to, like, I mean, I'm sure you have. We all have at some point. Like, how do you wrestle with that? Or especially even when it comes to your kid, like, if you have to explain a sports scandal, has that come up yet?
I mean, that's a good question. I feel like we've talked a little bit maybe about, like Rose Chapman, mm-hmm. and, like, why I, like, will not watch him
sure.
pitch. I haven't talked to him about the Astros and the sign stealing yet. Well, that one's
pretty mild. That can be a nice introduction to sports badness. Yeah. Like, do you feel like there's a responsibility to explain, like, the underside of sports? Or do you want to just keep him kind of naive at this point?
I think he's real young.
Yeah. No, I understand
that. And I want him to be a kid, I think, you know?
Yeah. I guess the reason why I started thinking about it is because it feels like now there's so many ways for him to just find out anyway, like mm-hmm. school, the internet, whatever. I don't know how much your kid is online, but like
my kid is extremely not online.
Yeah,
actually.
I don't know. Like, I just remember I was probably about as old as your kid is now mm-hmm. when Kobe Bryant's sexual assault scandal happened, and I was like, I was very confused, obviously, because I just know Kobe Bryant, the basketball player,
right.
and the superstar basketball player who I like enjoyed watching, and then I had to sort of piece it together without anyone telling me straight up what happened, you know, mm-hmm. and it was just such a weird feeling, because then you hear from like kids at school, it's like, my dad told me this, and you're like, I don't think that's right. Mm-hmm. And then you hear from another kid, it's completely different. So mm-hmm. I don't know, the sports part of sports that isn't sports, like the off the field stuff, the like actual human element of it, I feel like can get so messy, and it's like, it is kind of unnecessary, I guess, to like bring such a pure person into that, like a mm-hmm. child. But I also feel like, you know, eventually he's gonna want to know what happened with Kevin Mather or something mm-hmm. like that. So I'm just curious how you kind of tiptoe that, or I guess it sounds like you might just straight up ignore it for right now.
Well, I mean, sometimes he'll bring up things like, he's like, oh man, I really like this player, I want to cheer for him, and he'll go, do you like the mom? And I'll be honest, I'm like, yeah, no, not so much, I don't really cheer for them. And then mm-hmm. if he asks why, I'll say, well, I think they're not a very nice person.
That's pretty good.
And then he just usually doesn't ask anymore, so I let it be led by him. You know, if he comes in with questions about any of that, then I'm going to try to be as honest with him as I can.
It's, sure. I mean,
whatever level is appropriate, but...
Yeah. I definitely remember, you know, nice or not nice is really all that matters when you're a little kid.
Yeah.
If you find out someone's not nice, mm-hmm. they're canceled. You know what I mean? That was the original cancel culture. It was kids finding out people weren't nice.
An elementary school cancel culture is harsh, man.
Is it?
That stuff is real.
Oh, no. Are kids getting canceled?
It flips around quick, I think. Well, you know, like... playground drama, I guess.
I guess, but I didn't realize that it was, like, they're just done. They have to
no,
move.
I'm being dismissive about it, but I think they're really working out at this age a lot of the, like, social dynamics.
I see.
And so there are definitely, like, days when kiddo will come home and, like, yes, like, we were at the playground today and this other kid, like, Bob wasn't following the rules. And,
oh, no.
And, like, that made me really upset because it wasn't fair. Like,
oh,
fairness
wow.
is really big with him right now.
Interesting. Well, that's a beautiful segue, because the Mariners have not had their share of fairness. You would think, just by the pure passage of time,
mm-hmm.
that they would have had some success, at least played in one playoff game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that would seem fair, right, from the universe, to actually just give us some good fortune. And that has literally not happened since you've lived here. It hasn't happened for anyone in 18 years or whatever it is. So, does that, like, weigh on you, or is it kind of like, you're just, since you're kind of new to it, does it feel, like, a little less... heavy?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I haven't ever had it, like you said, so it's not like there's something that was there and then it's missing. I will say that this year, during like the first Sounders playoff game,
mm-hmm.
I was sitting there, and that was like an intense game, and like back and forth, and when they went to extra time, and I had this thought in the back of my head. I was like, oh, maybe having your team in the playoffs is bad. I mean, this is the first year that I've followed the Sounders, but it was like the first year that I've been more like, it was the first year I'm a season ticket holder with the Sounders
okay,
too, and so
yeah.
it's been like the whole season, it's been the whole story, and then I'm like, I don't know if I really want this right now, because everything could be terrible in a moment.
It's exhausting, for sure. Like, having to actually agonize over things. Like, I remember the first Seahawks Super Bowl run with Pete Carroll. Not the one in 05, the one that ended up winning the Super Bowl. I had that exact thought where I was like, if the Mariners play a playoff series, seven games of this, I am going to die.
Just all of us are going to be in a heap. Just...
Because I get, I don't know, I feel like I'm pretty chill, pretty mellow in most things, but when it's things that I can't control, but I want a certain outcome, I kind of get, like, I think antsy is the right word, because you're just like, just do it, just win.
Yeah.
Like, I was at the Storm, one of the Storm playoff games against Phoenix, and it would have been 2018, I guess, the most recent championship, and, like, watching Diana Taurasi just lurk, I was like, she's coming. I know what's happening. I know what's happening. And that was the game where she made, like, the crazy turnaround three in the corner to go to overtime. And I was so, like, mad isn't even the word. I was so defeated. Because, like, I think that part of that was being conditioned by the Mariners. I was like, well, here we go. The Storm ended up winning that game and then winning the championship, obviously. So that whole feeling was kind of unnecessary. But there is that whole, like, that dread that I feel like kind of hangs over sports. Even if it is the Sounders or the Storm or the Seahawks or a team that's good, there's still that, like, knowing that they have so much power to hurt you is so scary.
But then the flip side, when it's so close and so intense and then they win, it's amazing.
So what you're saying is winning is good. You're pro-winning.
I'm pro-winning.
Okay.
I think I don't value it as much as other people do.
I think that's healthy, though. That's probably the best way to do it.
I just like baseball, man.
Yeah. So how much interest are you giving the rest of Major League Baseball? Or, like, the minor leagues? Like, things that aren't necessarily the Seattle Mariners?
Like, I'll usually watch it if it's on. It was, having played fantasy baseball the past couple of years has drawn me more into other teams. And, you know, I'll watch the playoffs. I love playoff baseball. I'll get involved in the World Series. I mean, I went to Arizona Fall League, so I can't really pretend I'm, like, some sort of filthy casual.
Right, that's hardcore. That's in the weeds baseball, you and five other people.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's, I mean, that's another thing that I think can grow your fandom, or, like, your appreciation for just...
Yeah.
Baseball, like, all the rhythms and, like, how, because those kids at the Arizona Fall League, like, they know, some of them, they're not going to be superstars. They might not even make the big leagues. They just do it because they like it, or they have a dream. And I feel like we can all, as cynical as some of us might be, we can all relate to that part, at least. Or just, like, being at a baseball game, there's something that is, like, magical about that. Even if, you know, your team is 90 games under 500 or whatever, you're still, like, watching baseball.
Mike Leake could very nearly throw a perfect game.
He sure could.
Right in front of
I was sitting right here for that, watching it unfold, terrified, because I was like, I'm going to have to recap a fucking Mike Leake perfect game. I'm not ready for that. And then luckily, Mike was chill enough to just give up one little baby hit, which seems like the most Mike Leake move of all time. That's Gold Glove winner, Mike Leake, by the way.
That's true.
That's pretty big time.
That's, so you never know what's going to happen.
You never know what's going to happen, yeah. You, I mean, I feel like that's especially true for someone who's at the stadium that much. Do you have, like, a seminal memory from being there? Because it's all, obviously, it's all regular season. We don't have the cool playoff moment. But I know for me, like, I've gotten lucky enough to just, you know, be at a couple no-hitters and things like that, where it's like you literally have no idea what's going to happen anytime you show up at a baseball game.
Yeah, we were at the Kuma no-hitter. That was pretty cool.
Me too.
There was one game, I guess it was two seasons ago. It was a Maple Grove game, and James Paxton got, like, 10 or 12 strikeouts, and then, and I feel terrible, I don't remember if it was Nelson Cruz or Robbie Cano hit his, like, 300th home run, was it? Because they both did it that season.
Not gonna
I don't remember
you.
Which one was which, but it was just, like, all of that, like, with all of my best friends, and that's one of my favorite baseball memories.
When all of the best things happen at once, it's very hard to not think that there's, like, something special about what you're doing. You know what I mean? Like, it'd be very fucked up to be at a game like that and be like, oh, well, you know, they haven't made the playoffs in 18 years. It's like, who is that line of thought for? Like, I don't know. I get that it's kind of natural, like, people are very results oriented with sports, but it doesn't feel like that's really helping anybody. You know what I mean? Because you have to be realistic. Like, we know next year they're not going to make the playoffs. That doesn't mean I'm not going to like baseball.
But they're going to start the season like 17-2 That's again, true. And then we're all going to be like, I can't, but I want to.
That was such a weird thing last year. I couldn't, like, I mean, the thing about baseball being so long is that you just know that, like, nothing will last. Even if it's, you know, extreme badness, extreme goodness, mm-hmm. even extreme normalcy. Like, mm-hmm. going exactly 500 is hard to do.
Yeah.
So you have to, like, but the 13-2 start was so alarming because I was like, I can't. Like, it felt like a false signal.
Well, because we all remember, like, last season, it was, like, astonishing. And then it felt like at the All-Star break, everything just crumbled.
Oh, yeah.
Pieces,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, yeah.
And so, it's like, that crushed me.
I think I think this 2019 was a natural, I think, splintering point for a lot of people because not only was it, like, coming off the emotional labor of following the 2018 team who
mm-hmm.
almost made the playoffs and then completely did not make the playoffs, but then they get rid of everyone and you're like, well, this seems like, you know, I like that team, now this is a completely different team. You've seen in your short time following the Mariners like
mm-hmm.
12 different teams basically.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, it's so hard to like get yourself psyched up again sometimes, and I think the 13-2 start did kind of help for that, but
mm-hmm.
then it only just makes it worse when they go whatever it is the rest of the season and win like, you know, 10% of their games.
Yeah.
There's no greater point there. I was just I wasn't gonna like, you know, come up with something clever to say at the end of that. But I guess then we should move to the big question here. Kind of the ethos of this whole podcast series. All
right.
Which is, we talked about how you became a Mariners fan, uh-huh. why, where, all that. But the real question is, what keeps bringing you back? What is it about the start of a new season that kind of draws you back to T-Mobile or even just following the Mariners?
It's just fucking hope, man.
Wow.
It's just, you go in on the first day and there's the bunting and there's like the big ceremony and everybody comes out and it's just all new. It's all new over again and anything can happen. And at the beginning of every single game, anything can happen.
Yeah, I need to figure out the life equivalent of bunting, like something to signify this is big, like get excited, this is your new day. Like, I know, maybe I need to like actually buy some bunting for my life and just carry it around, put it up at work, put it up in my bedroom.
We could work on that for like an off-season article too, like how to incorporate bunting into your day-to-day life.
That's true, yeah. How to make every day feel like opening day. Did you hear that? I think it was Nick Castellanos on the Cubs, someone was like, you know, Nick, you weren't... He got traded midseason to the
mm-hmm.
Cubs. One of the reporters was like, yeah, Nick, you know, you weren't here opening day. And he stops him and he goes, prove to me that today's not opening day. And they're like, what? He's like, today, as far as I'm concerned, is opening day. And, like, he was definitely, like, kind of joking. But at the same time, I was like, he might be a genius. Like, if you approach every day like it's that excitement of a new day and not August in Milwaukee or whatever, it has to have some positive effect, especially for a baseball player who's doing it 162 times in 180 days or whatever it is.
So do you think that fits into the whole like daily stoic book and ethos that so many of them follow, or is it the complete opposite?
Well, I have a tough time relating to anyone who does the daily stoic, like, you know, just another day at work, like, you know, gonna put our head down and grind, treat it one day at a time. Like, that just doesn't seem like your natural thought process. Like, it's weird to me to things like, these are humans, they have real thoughts, and then when they actually have to express them, they just dumb it down to like, yeah, you know, both teams played hard, whatever, whatever, whatever. Like, I want the guy who actually has sort of anything. Like, it can even be extreme sadness if they're like, yeah, you know, we suck, we're gonna suck tomorrow, and we suck the day after that. Like, to me, that's at least better than being like the Scott Service where he just never says anything ever, you know? That's what draws me to players, too. The ones
or
who are
you
expressive.
Could be the guy with the lightsaber.
True, yeah. We should all strive to be more like Sean Doolittle.
Jerry, get Sean Doolittle.
Yeah, or Sean Doolittle, come on the Lookout Landing podcast. Why I'm a baseball player, not a baseball fan. It'll be 5 minutes long, just him saying I'm really good at baseball, and people keep hiring me to play baseball. But the hope is what I think we all need.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's so easy to forget that that's sort of the whole reason. Because, like, hope can mean different things for different people. It's not the hope of making the playoffs, maybe. It's the hope of we get to watch baseball. Like, I'm hoping that I'm going to be able to watch baseball all season, and it'll be fun. Like, I think that should be enough, you know? Because that's what got everyone into it originally, I think. Like, I didn't, when I was a kid, I didn't wake up every day and say, I really hope the Mariners win the World Series. I would wake up saying, I want to watch the Mariners tonight.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you have to kind of have that reminder that it's not all about the great, you know, pie in the sky or whatever. It's about, like, you deserve to be happy in ways that aren't tied to things, mm-hmm. you know?
And in
this
baseball,
is a therapy part
in baseball,
of the
it's
podcast.
So hard to get to the playoffs. It's hard.
It is hard, and especially when you have the fucking Astros in your division who are stealing all of our information, which probably isn't great anyway, but give it back. We want our signs back.
Can you return it?
Oh, man. Okay, well, Brittany has to go live a real life. Well, I have to edit a podcast. We're both contributing to society,
yeah,
I would say.
I think so.
Do you have anything to plug? Anything you want to promote, get off your chest? Any wild predictions?
Wild predictions. I predict that Jerry is never, ever going to sign Sergio Romo, no matter how many times I tweet it out to the universe. We're going to end up being the only team in MLB that never had him. It's going to break my heart.
But this seems like you're trying to do something here. You're trying to put that
prove me wrong,
energy.
Jerry.
Yeah.
Prove my wrong.
Jerry DePoto, you won't sign Sergio Romo tomorrow.
Who would do that?
Yeah, who amongst us would try to sign a fun baseball player to add to your... I wanted them to sign Bartolo for 2019 because I was like, we don't have a bullpen. Bullpen's going to be all minor leaguers. Just get someone who the fans want to see.
Yeah.
Like, you have to at some point start thinking like an entertainment agent. I mean, like, who can we put in this production that'll elevate it a little bit? That's almost always Bartolo Colon. Even when he's going to be like 65 years old. I want him. Even just like first base coach. Just get him on the field somewhere.
Yeah. Like backup mascot.
Backup mascot. Yeah, that's great. But then no one would know that it was him.
Well, he doesn't have to have a costume.
Oh, you're just saying that he is the mascot?
Just like, you know, he just dances on the dugout, whatever.
I don't know if I'd rather see Bartolo Colon just be himself as a mascot or actually put on the moose costume and moose around.
But how do you know he hasn't?
Wow. Fuck. That's a great point. What if, yeah, pitchers, when they're not pitching, could easily fill in for the mascot? You know, contribute in other ways. Mm-hmm. They make enormous salaries. They should at least do one other thing besides just baseball. Come on.
Slackers.
Yeah, maybe mow some grass, you know, sell some hot dogs. It's the least they could do.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, Brittany. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you.
Do you want to tell people where they can follow you on the internet?
I am at Brittany Bush, BrittneyBush on Twitter. I hope you like Seattle City politics as well as baseball. That's what I do.
Beautiful.
But I'd be happy to see you there.
Yes, we're all happy to see all of your beautiful smiling faces on Twitter every morning. It's what I look forward to every day. I am at mroberson22. Read Lookout Landing. Rate this podcast on iTunes if you feel so inclined. This is the best Mariners podcast in the world, and Woo-hoo! We're not going to act like it's not. So please say nice things about us on all platforms. And until next time, bye. Do you want to do a bye?
Bye.
I wanna be bigger than Jesus, and bigger than wrestling, bigger than the Beatles, and bigger than breast implants. I'm gonna be the biggest thing to hit these little kids. Bigger than guns, bigger than cigarettes.